Hello, neighbor. You're tuned in to the Westwood Gospel Time with Pastor Walt Lanier of the Westwood Missionary Baptist Church in Winter Haven, Florida. This is the 60th week of our look at the book of Genesis. This week, we're in chapter 44 as we continue our study through God's precious word. Here's Pastor Walt Lanier, taking the Bible as it is to people as they are.
Verse number 9. Then they made this plea, or so to speak, with whomsoever thy servants it be found. They were so confident that there was no problem. They said this, of whomever the servants that this cup be found, well, let him die, and we will also be thy Lord's bondmen. And he said, now let it be according to your words, and he with whom is found shall be my servant, and ye shall be blameless. So what's going on here is when the brothers had left, they had just been gone, just got out of city limits, the stewards found them and asked them, why have you rewarded evil for good? Why have you done this? My master's treated you so well, and you stole from his house. And not only did you steal from him, you took his special silver cup, that cup of divination. Now, the word divination means that you can see into the future. Remember, the Egyptians were big on that. They were polytheistic people. They believed in many, many gods. And remember, he had magicians and soothsayers. Remember, Pharaoh and all, trying to interpret dreams, and astrologers. And they were big in this. And on Joseph's table was what we're going to find out was a cup of divination. Now, there's a little bit of controversy here about that cup. Did Joseph use that cup? Because remember, he was the one who could interpret dreams. Even before, when he was in Canaan, he had the dream about his brothers bowing to him, remember, when he was just 17 years old. And then had another dream about the sun and the moon and the stars bowing to him. So then when he gets into Egypt, you remember he interpreted the baker and the butler's dreams, and it came true. Then he interpreted Pharaoh's dreams. Remember about the cows, the skinny cows, and the sheaf and all that. And that was a 7 bad years of famine, and then 7 good years of plenty, and then 7 bad years of famine. So God had given Joseph that ability, that special gift to interpret dreams. Now, the controversy is this. Did Joseph use that cup because he was in a foreign land and just to kind of went in Rome, do as the Romans? You've heard that old adage, you know, just kind of act like the Egyptians and do what they were doing. Or could it have been just something that since he was in Egypt, that it was like a place setting? A lot of people, we go to different homes, they have place settings that they don't even use. It's just there for looks. Are you following? We have some fine, fine, fine china, and we rarely use it. It's in a china cabinet, only when important people come over. I shouldn't say it, because when y'all come over now, if we use these paper plates, you're going to know where you're at with us. You know, when Danny or Doug comes over, we throw out those plastic, that throwaway things, you know. But when we have important people come over, we put the fine china out. I'm just kidding, but you know what I'm talking about. Okay? So it probably, I believe, was more of a place setting, because they're in that culture and all, and there was that cup of divination that the astrologers, the soothsayers, that they would look into the future, try to forecast the future, so to speak, look into the future, and they would drink out of that cup. Joseph didn't need that. Matter of fact, Joseph was a man of God. We learned last week that the steward told the brothers about Jehovah God. Remember, we talked about that. Where did the steward learn about Jehovah God? Well, from Joseph, because his example, his testimony. So I don't believe, of course, the Bible doesn't go into great detail here about this cup, but I don't believe he used that cup to drink and be like a fortune teller and look into the future. He didn't need it. God gave him a great ability to do that, which kind of, every time I think of that, I think about these fortune tellers and lady bros or whoever, they read your palms or your tea leaves and all, and they can foresee in the future. And I often wonder, why can't they foresee the lottery numbers? You know, if they can read future, surely they can see what the lottery numbers are. Anyway, just sideline. I don't believe when you that this cup of divination was something that Joseph used. It was more of a place setting on his table. And to go even farther than that, it was probably just something that he was going to set up to put in that bag because he had a plan that he was fixing to carry out with the brothers. So that cup is in Joseph's bag or Benjamin's bag, and they don't know this yet. Let's get to verse number 11. Then they speedily took every man his sack to the ground and opened every man his sack. And he searched, and it began at the eldest and left at the youngest. And the cup was found in Benjamin's sack. And they rent their clothes and laid it every man his ass and returned to the city. There's so much you learn from these couple of verses. First, they all begin as they were opening their sacks. It says beginning with the eldest, which would be Reuben. He was the first one to open his bag. Had all the corn, and he emptied it on the ground. And I could just see him say, "See, I told you." And as they go down the line, you know, Levi and Simeon and all the rest of them, "I told you, we ain't got it. You know, we would never steal from you, from your master," until they get to Benjamin. And it says in verse number 12, the cup was found in Benjamin's sack. Then they rent their clothes. And I could just hear them say, "Oh no, how could this be? How could this be?" And I imagine Benjamin defending himself. "Brothers, I didn't take this." I could hear him saying that. "I have no idea how it got in my bag. I didn't take it. You got to believe me." Because surely he defended himself. How did he get in the bag? Well, didn't know. Now here's the interesting thing. And they returned to the city. That speaks volumes. I'm going to get a little bit farther. And they returned to the city. The servant had told them, "Now you're going to be held blameless. You need to go on." They had the food, and they could have went back to Jacob, the dad. But they returned to the city. Interesting. They could have went back home to dad, to Jacob. But instead, they were willing to stand by Benjamin, their younger brother, no matter what. No matter what. The brothers believed Benjamin. Whether Benjamin was guilty or not, the brothers knew that they could not go home to dad without their little brother. It would kill Jacob. Remember that when Jacob didn't want Benjamin to go, said, "He's going over my dead body." Finally, they convinced them to let Benjamin go. And the last thing they heard their dad said was say this about him: "If something happens, I've lost Joseph, and it was Simeon was in prison, and if I lose Benjamin, I've lost it all." Remember, he was already grieving in case he had lost Benjamin too, and they just knew that they could not go back to Canaan without little brother. They would rather die or be enslaved in Egypt. This spoke volumes of the brothers' change in their character over the last 20 years. In 20 years, something had changed to these brothers. Remember, 20 years ago, they had thrown Joseph into the pit. They were going to kill him first, and then they throwed him into the pit. And then they decided, Judah said, "Hey, let's sell him to these traders, these folk who are coming by. They're going into Egypt. Let's just sell him. At least we can make some money for him." 20 years later, these brothers were willing to die for Benjamin, at least be enslaved by Pharaoh because of what was taking place. So we learn a lot by that one phrase, and they returned to the city because they were free to go home. Because the steward says, "No, y'all are free. This is the guy I want, Benjamin."
You've been listening to the Westwood Gospel Time with Pastor Walt Lanier of the Westwood Missionary Baptist Church in Winter Haven, Florida. Tune in next time as we continue our study through God's precious word. And come visit us this Saturday evening at 6 p.m. as the Wiznets will be with us. That's June 5th at 6 p.m. You won't want to miss this concert. Also next week, beginning on June 7th through the 11th, Monday through Friday from 6 to 8:30 p.m., will be our VBS program for pre-K through ages 14. We hope that you'll take advantage of this opportunity and bring your kids. That's June 7th through 11th, Monday through Friday, from 6 p.m. to 8:30 p.m. for pre-K through ages 14. Well, from now until tomorrow, may God bless you richly, is our prayer.